Blog Talk Radio.
Can't make my own decision.
Congratulations, brother. I love you. And, you know, I love the family and everything else. So just happy for everybody.
Well, I definitely appreciate that, brother. Yeah, I'm pretty certain we're going to spoil the hell out of him. Yeah, first grandbaby. Now, I told you this off air, but I'll go ahead and say it while I'm on air. And he's 5 weeks premature. He's a little small. But he definitely has some attitude. They have him on oxygen in the NICU. He's constantly reaching up and pulling the little tube things out of his nose, which I can't blame him. I would, too. The contacts that they put on his chest to monitor heart rate and everything else, he constantly yanks those off, so they had to stick them on his back. Yeah, I'm pretty certain he just doesn't like this shit. But while I was sitting there, first time I got to see him, I gave him my pointer finger, and just the way he was holding it, he had forearm laid against my middle finger. His entire forearm is the same size as my middle finger. So, yeah, that gives you an idea how small he is. But 4 pounds, 2 ounces. So we've got a lot of growing to do before I can take him out and let him kill his first deer with me.
Yeah, I think there's a few years. I know you want to do it next week, but no, I think he's got to get a little bit older.
Yeah, well, I'll give him a few months. I'll have him out in no time. Speaking of deer, so last night I'm sitting in the living room. Everybody's already gone off to bed, so the house is nice and quiet. And I'm catching up on my DVRs. All the programs that I haven't been able to catch during the week and whatnot. Of course, I hear this loud bang outside. I'm like, Jesus, really? Now, if you remember, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, we had a crash just half a block, like 3 doors away from me, right on my road.
Yeah.
So last night I'm thinking, wow, would somebody curb check? I mean, it didn't sound loud enough to be, you know, into a tree or really hit another car or anything. Of course, I grabbed the flashlight, head out the door. I saw the vehicle continue driving. My living room actually just faces the road. So I see this car continue driving. He's hauling ass. I go out to see what the hell he's hit. One of my thoughts was, oh, Christ, he's hit my trailer. I've got a little utility trailer on the side. Now, he smacked a button buck and knocked it about 100 the road. Tore up the rear end of it pretty bad. So I go ahead and I call the police dispatcher, and I tell him, send me a unit. You're going to have shots fired calls, I'm sure, because I'm going out and put the animal out of his misery. So I went out and I popped around in the deer's head, put him out of his misery. I go beat on my neighbor's door, who is an avid hunter. He's gotten, I think only 2 deer, maybe 3 deer this season, so he's a little upset by it. This is midnight. I'm banging on his door. Of course, from the inside, I hear a shotgun rack hollering, "Who the hell is it?" I'm like, "Mike, put the damn shotgun down and open the door." Hang on. He opens the door, and he's like, "What the hell do you want, man? It's midnight. I was sound asleep." And I'm like, "Hey, man, I got a free deer for you out here. We just have to wait for Enrico to show up and not raise hell at me too bad for firing rounds off." "Oh, is you firing? What the hell are you doing?" I'm like, "Just shut up and get some clothes on." So, yeah, entertainment value, popping rounds off in the neighborhood at midnight. Just fun. Entertainment, But my neighbor never knows what the hell is going to happen. I woke him up at like 12:30 the other week because somebody ran out of his yard and ran through my yard. We both have chain link fence all around our yard, so nobody should have been in the yards. He's like, "Dude, you need to just stop staring out the window because you're really fucking up my sleep schedule." Like, okay, I'll steal your shit. Oh, well.
Well, but if you're sitting at your kitchen table, you're looking right out at it, so.
Yeah, exactly. And from my living room chair, I'm looking right out at my front yard and the road. So, and of course, here in my office, I'm looking straight out the front door, you know, or the front windows.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. But I thought it was quite interesting.
Speaking of this past weekend, I do have to say, and hats off in a moment of silence kind of way, for everybody just south of me in southern Illinois who went through the tornadoes that ripped through this past weekend. I know there were injuries, there were some deaths that are reported now, so I just want to say it's November, everybody's expecting snow and Thanksgiving and all that. Well, a ton of people lost their homes, lost family members, have family members who were injured in the hospital, stuff like that. So wholeheartedly, my thoughts and my prayers do go out to them.
Yeah, most definitely, as do mine. All right, well, I see I have, we have a caller on the board. That should be, I'm not sure which one. It's either Nick or Brian calling in to join us from Crossover Paranormal. So I'm going to go ahead and grab that and bring them in. And let's get this show started. Let's kick it in the ass. Good evening. You're with Full Spectrum.
Good evening. This is Brian.
Hey, awesome. Brian, what's going on, man?
Oh, not a whole lot, guys. How you guys doing?
Just wonderful, brother. Just wonderful.
Awesome.
So,
well,
hey,
congratulations on the grandpa there.
Oh, well, thank you, brother. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, hey, for Dennis, one thing we didn't address, and Brian, I don't know if you were trying, but just got a message from Tara, too. I guess chat's all fucked up all across the board, so apparently we're going to be running without chat tonight. So thank you, Blog Talk, for fucking everything up once again.
Yay! Way to go.
Awesome. Well, hey, they'll just have to call in and chat.
Yeah, that works.
Shit, right?
Yeah.
323-580-5703. Call in and talk to the fellas over at Crossover Paranormal. We got Brian with us now. Brian, do you know if Nick is going to be joining us?
He had a little situation come up. His girlfriend's car basically broke down, so he had to head out and help her get fired back up. And hopefully he'll be joining us here soon.
All right. Yeah, definitely. I mean, given that you all are in Ohio, you probably, you know, waist deep in snow already.
You know, honestly, it hasn't been bad. We had like a lightning one day, and that was it. I mean, we've been pretty fortunate so far, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what scares me. Of course, now who the hell would have thought of, you know, mid to latter November would have thunderstorms rolling across, giving us tornadoes and shit. That's so unusual.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. I mean, obviously we didn't get hit like you guys did, but you know, we were at a friend's house last night, you know, fired up the grill, and the wind was whipping around. But hey, we got the burgers and dogs and chicken cooked up, you know. The people all around him lost power, but like his block that he lives in still had power, so we lucked out. We didn't lose power at our house, so that was good. But you know, I guess some places in Ohio got hit pretty good. I guess they said like 30-some tornadoes touched down in that string of storms. That's just unreal.
Yeah,
yeah,
last, this time of year.
Last count that I heard was 70.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, the last hour it was 30, so yeah, that's went up big time. Wow.
Yeah, well, our prayers definitely go out to those affected. I know my daughter sent me a text telling me to look at like ABC6 or something out of like Toledo, Ohio. I guess up around that neck of the woods, the Northwest got pretty much hammered.
Down here towards the southern part of the state where we are, we're right in between Cincinnati and Dayton. So we didn't get hit real hard down here. But, yeah, up north and over there where you guys are, Illinois, man, definitely out to everybody.
Yeah, I'm definitely one of the lucky ones. I'm over in Richmond, Virginia, and Matt's the one over in Chicago, so.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it was about 40 minutes, just about 40 minutes south of me is where the main center of the storm went through. About an hour and 10 is where the tornado went through like Washington, Illinois.
Yeah.
And then like all through the bad storms through Peoria and all that kind of stuff. So I have friends in that area that I was on the phone with, or either texting or Facebook messaging or whatever, and getting updates as I was watching the storm go through. And surprisingly, they actually called the whole game at Soldier Field for a while, to where they evacuated the stadium into the main common area, and nobody was in the stands, and that was on hold for an hour and 50 minutes, I think it was.
Yeah.
Something like that. And then Bears came back and won. But
thank goodness. I'm a Bengals fan, so, you know, anytime the Ravens or the Browns or the Steelers lose, I'm happy.
You're happy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be bragging there about being a Bengals fan, but hey, you know, to each their own, brother.
Hey, we're in first place. I know the season's not over yet. I know.
Yeah, well, right. Even a blind squirrel can get a nut now and again.
Brian, you all said, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Dennis is actually from Ohio. So.
Ah, okay. Where about?
I grew up along the 2312 corridor, you know, Route 23, Route 12, Fostoria, Tiffin.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
All them little podunk towns south of Toledo.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know where Fostoria is, yeah.
But, yeah, I've got family in Dayton, Columbus, Springfield, Fairborn. Now, let me ask you, I'm not familiar with the name of your town, where that's located. You tell me it's between Cincinnati and Dayton. Is that on central or is that eastern side of the state?
That would be the southwestern side of the state.
Okay, so you're over near Xenia.
Yeah, just south of Xenia.
All right. Now, for anybody that doesn't know, Xenia is the very top end of what's known as Tornado Alley.
Oh, yeah.
Have you lived in that area all your life?
Yeah. Me and Nick both. Nick's actually born and raised in Centerville, which is just a little bit north of me. It's kind of, that's basically in between me and Xenia. So right in between Middletown and Xenia there is where Nick was born and raised. And, yeah, both of us, we lived in this area all our lives.
Okay, awesome. Now, are you familiar? I'm not sure how old you are. You may be giving your age away here. I know I am. 1978, they had I think it was 78, they had the tornadoes that rolled through and pretty much leveled Xenia.
I remember hearing about it. I was born in 76, so I'm 37 years old. But
gosh, you're just young and in. Okay.
Yeah, but I do remember hearing about it.
Yeah, I was 8, 9 years old. My aunt and uncle actually took us down because, you know, all the kids are going, well, what do they mean it leveled the town? You know, we just didn't understand. So they took us down there to see the devastation. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And then, as it turns out, here I am, you know, 30 years later or whatever, my wife works for Super Value, Now, they have a large distribution location in Xenia, and it's food distribution network. So they have the huge freezers. They actually ended up commandeering the freezers as temporary morgue because there were so many killed in that tornado string.
Oh, my gosh.
So I thought that was, you know, quite odd.
Yeah.
But, you know,
wow.
Fortunately, it doesn't sound like we've encountered the same thing on this trip.
Right, right. Yeah, thank goodness for that.
So give us a little insight on Crossover Paranormal. Who started it? How long have you been up and running?
Well, hey, Dennis.
Give us the lowdown.
Hey, it's Brian Dennis. I do want to interrupt you 1 second. Dennis, remember last show when we were talking about charities and all that kind of stuff?
Right.
All right. Well, Brian actually works for a charity that has to do with osteogenesis imperfecta. And do you want to do a little promotion and plugs and all that kind of stuff for that since it's close to home and dear to your heart?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I appreciate that. Let's see. The first time we decided to do something for osteogenesis imperfecta, or otherwise known as OI, was a couple years ago. We decided to – actually, it was Nick's idea, which you know, hey, that's what best friends do, right? You know, we take care of each other and everything. And he called me up, and he's like, hey, man, I know we usually run everything by each other, but I've already got the ball rolling. We're going to do this event, and you know, it was a ghost hunt, a public ghost hunt, for and all the proceeds went to OI. That's actually where we met Jeff Wickedbeard Cochran, one of the other investigators of Crossover. So that was the first event we did for OI. This past August, we did a beer tasting for OI. We debuted some new beers that were coming out, and you know, it was a great time. We had a lot of donations come in. One girl actually donated her autographed Trans-Siberian Orchestra guitar, and the highest bidder got it for, I think it was a little right at $200. And then turned around and handed the guitar back to the little girl and was like, here, this belongs to the rightful owner. You know, so that was a pretty cool moment. But, yeah, we tried to raise, you know, not just money for the foundation, but basically just awareness. Because having a child with OI, the many trips to the hospital that we had been through for his broken bones, because osteogenesis imperfecta is basically a brittle bone disease. After, you know, so many trips to the hospital for broken bones in 1 year, you start to worry that Children's Services is going to get called in, you know, and we haven't done anything wrong. You know, we weren't abusing our kid, obviously, but we often wonder if there are homes out there that have had their children taken away from them because of, you know, they suspicions of child abuse when actually there's no awareness and they don't know that their child may have OI. So a kid could possibly be taken out of a perfectly good, loving home, you know, and so we want to try to spread awareness as much as possible. And you know, if people think that they have OI or their kids or their nephews or a friend, a coworker, you know, get tested. It's you got to do genetic testing. You know, you go to a genetic specialist, and they'll do the testing. There are some signs. The sclera of your eyes, the whites of your eyes. Obviously, the first sign would be if you have a lot of broken bones. If you break bones easily, if it seems, and then if you notice the whites of your eyes, the sclera. Sometimes they have a blue tint to them. You notice that. Kind of some kids have just kind of a bone structure in their face. We noticed respiratory ailments. Let's see, brittle teeth. You know, because your teeth are bone, and they break just as easy as the bones do. You know, those are some signs that you can look for. And you know, if you think that you have it, or someone you know, or a friend of yours, you know, suggest it to them, and go to oif.org, O-I-F as in Frank, .org, and that's the foundation's website. You can read up, do a little research on it, find some more symptoms, and you know, find a way to help. If you want to make a donation, you know, you can go there and donate straight to the foundation. And you know, that's the main charity that we represent. Although, you know, any time that we can help out a charity, we do. You know, there's been a family, a little boy, his name's Clyde, Clyde Mockaby. They came to us. He was 2 years old at the time, and he has a Chiari malformation. We've helped them with some events and stuff. And, you know, any way we can help the community and any type of charity, we're all for it. So we're not just, you know, just OI, but, you know, we just want to help anybody we can.
That's
awesome, man. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Exactly. I have to 100% give you kudos on that. I mean, you know, that's what I brought up right before when I said, Dennis, remember what we were talking about every week, and you had brought up to me before the show about the charity that you work with and the personal connection with that. But that was one thing that Dennis and I said that we want to do from now on is every show on Mondays and Wednesdays, we want to get in touch with local charity or local foundation or something like that that can say what they do, how they operate, and be able to basically put all their information out there. And just, you know, 10, 15 minutes of every single show and talk about it, promote it, and see if we can help them out in any way.
There you go. And, you know, just that 10, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes, whatever, you know, that's going to reach somebody, and it's going to prompt them to, you know, go to that foundation's website and do some research. And, you know, hey, 5, 10, 15 minutes, it spreads awareness. So, you know, that's what it's all about, getting the word out and helping out. So that's, you know, big kudos to you guys, you know, for taking the time, you know, from your show to do that. So, you know, my hat's off to you guys. That's pretty awesome.
Well, thank you. It's our way of giving back also.
Right. It's a big circle, you know.
Yeah. Both of us, I mean, Matt and I have known each other long enough that we pretty much have the same belief in the fact that what you put out is what you get back. So we always try to put out something worthwhile.
Right.
But,
exactly.
You know, definitely. It sounds like OI is, if it is a brittle, well, obviously, you know, it's a brittle bone issue. If you know even a neighbor child that seems to constantly have a broken bone, you know, if you're close enough with the parents and you don't think they're crackheads, go talk to them and say, hey, kid, check into this. Of course, if they are crackheads, you might want to keep it a little more on the down low.
Right. Yeah. Instead of suggesting OI, maybe you'll suggest a methadone clinic or something.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, shoot.
And also,
yes,
I have the child check for OI.
Right. You get a 2-for-1 there. Get
but,
the crackhead
yeah,
some
we,
help and get some help.
Precisely. But, yeah, I mean, there's so many different genetic disorders, and, you know, no matter how much we ever know about the human body, there's so damn much we don't know, and so many diseases and so many different afflictions that, you know, there's no way that you can, you know, be fully knowledgeable on all of them. So to find out a little bit about OI from somebody that's actually dealing with it, you know, frankly, it's something I'd never heard of. So,
and you know, we're actually, you know, we always try to look at things on the positive side. You know, it could be worse. Having said that, I mean, you know, he has type 1 OI, which is the less severe. You've got type 2, type 3, you know, and some of those kids actually break bones while they're still in the mother's womb. That's how fragile they can be. But, you know, Curtis he's broken he's had three fractured vertebrae. He's broken his back twice. His tibia, his rib, kneecap, the tarsal bone, you know, just different bones. And honestly, you know, you really don't even have to have a trauma, even with type 1. We were playing basketball one time, and Curtis said that his back was hurt. So I was like, okay, son, you know, we'll schedule you an appointment. So we made him a doctor's appointment. They did x-rays, and they said, are you sure he hasn't fallen or anything? We're like, yeah, positive. They're like, okay, well, he has another compression fracture on another vertebrae. We're like, well, how is that possible? And they said, well, does he carry a backpack at school? And we're like, yeah. And they said, well, maybe he's got too many books in his backpack, and that's caused that vertebrae to compress like it has. So, you know, even something like that, you know, just carrying a backpack at school, you know, caused him to get a compression fracture on a vertebrae. So, and that's with the least severe type. So, you know, it could be worse. You know, he could have type 2 or type 3, but, you know, we still try to look at everything on the positive side. You know, I'm proud of him because he knows his limits. He knows when he, you know, what he can do and what he can't do. He's 15 now, so, you know, he doesn't take those chances. You know, he was at a birthday party one time, and he had only been there maybe an hour, and we get a phone call, and he's like, hey, can you come pick me up? I'm like, yeah, is everything okay? I'm like, all right. So we get there, and the kids are playing football, and Kurt comes walking to the car, and he's like, everybody's hollering at him, bye, Kurt, you know, like everything's cool. And he gets in the car, and I'm like, you sure everything's okay? He said, yeah. I said, why did you want to come home so early? He said, well, they were playing football, and I know if I started to play, I could probably, you know, break something. So I figured I'd just come on home. Like, you know, no big deal. He was cool with it, you know. And he knew when to say when, so, you know, proud to death of him of that, you know.
Yeah, that's got to be a rough way to grow up. How old is he? You haven't given us an idea yet.
He's 15 now. Actually, he'll be 16 in February. He was diagnosed when he was almost 10 years old. He was like 9 and a half. And what prompted them to diagnose them was during wrestling practice. Obviously, we didn't know he had it, or we wouldn't have let him, you know, wrestle. But he wanted to get into MMA, so we told him, you know, a lot of MMA guys start off with wrestling. So we got him in wrestling, and it was during practice, and we were teaching the kids a defense called sprawling. So we were teaching the kids how to sprawl, and basically the kid jumped on Curtis's back, and that's when he got his first compression fracture on his L4 vertebrae. And the doctor was like, you know, this isn't something that happens to a 9-year-old boy. This is something that would happen to more like a 90-year-old man or woman. So they did the test, and that's when they diagnosed him. He was almost 10 years old. He was like 9 and a half, and he's almost 16 now. So,
now, how many broken bones and things like that did he have prior to this incident that actually led to the diagnosis?
Oh, wow. Prior to that, let's see, three metatarsal bones, his tibia, his rib, you know, a finger or two, collarbone, I believe that's it. I know that's enough right there as it is. But
yeah,
I believe that's what he broke prior to. And you know, once he was diagnosed, it was like it was a relief in a way, because it was like, okay, now we know. Even though there's no cure, there's no treatment, you know, at least we know now, you know, what it is.
Yeah, now you have some justification for what the hell's going wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So, yeah, so that's our family history with OI, and, you know, once again, OIF.org for some more information to learn about the disease.
And as well, Tara threw the link to it on the, well, she threw out an announcement along with one of the plugs for the radio program. She put the link out for OIF.org site. So there's that part. And
thanks,
we'll also
Tara.
Put it out on ours.
Awesome.
So,
Tara's pretty all right chick, ain't she?
Yeah, she's not bad for a female.
Yeah, even though she's encouraging my wife to do our house up like Chevy Chase's house. Tara and my wife got to chatting about it, and I'm like, stop. don't instigate it.
Yeah, most women don't need much instigation, dude.
Yeah, I'm going to come home from work one day and it's going to be done.
Yes, you're going to have 63 little teenagers running around the yard with lights everywhere. And you're going to see smoke rolling from the power meter.
Uh-huh. Yep. Oh, shoot.
Now, speaking of which, do you normally decorate for Christmas? I'm just being nosy now.
Yeah.
Man, like, you know, buttloads of lights and all of that, or?
Not really a buttload, but we decorate. You know, we do a little bit, but, you know, my mom passed away this past February, and, you know, just kind of, you know, not feeling it so much this year, but, you know, I've got kids, and, you know, hey, I just suck it up and get the decorating done and, you know, move on and carry on. And we'll probably do it up a little bigger this year than we have before, so.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I know, you know, once our kids grew up and moved out, you know, we're like, okay, well, Christmas doesn't seem to hold that same, well, for lack of a better term, sparkle anymore. So I quit putting out the 20,000 lights, and I gave them to the kids, and I let them burn their power bill up combined. See, I finally got smart.
There you go.
But, of course, now that there's grandbaby here, wife's already telling me, you know, we need to get new lights. Why? I'm perfectly fine without the lights. No, because when Liam comes over, I want him to have all the Christmas lights and everything. Oh, shit. Okay. More work forthcoming.
Yep.
He won't know shit. Tell Hope that I said he won't know shit till he's three, at least.
No, but the bright lights and twinkling will get his attention. And, you know, and here's the funny thing. The day after he was born is when I went to see him. I didn't have the ability to go see him that day because, you know, straight off to the NICU and the boy on the bubble routine and the whole nine yards. But, you know, he's already at the point he can follow things with his eyes and whatnot. So, you know, he's right with us. He's going to be great. And I told him, you know, he's going to be granddaddy's little fishing buddy. We're going to have a damn good time.
There you go.
So, mystery caller, would you like to say hello or just sit back and be evil?
I would like to just sit back and be evil. I'm allowed to play that card. Hello!
Okay.
Hi, Tara.
Hi!
What up, girl?
You're going to be nice to me now until you actually get on Facebook and see all the tags I put with your name and the encouragement that I gave your wife, and then maybe you're not going to be so nice to me.
Damn, here we go again.
Yeah, you might as well go ahead now and buy stock in whatever it is, Ohio Power or Central Ohio Power. Just go buy stock now, dude, because you're screwed.
Right.
Or the other suggestion is Jack Daniels, because when you get the bill, at least you'll be happy enough to just laugh at it.
That's right. That's right. Me and my buddy Jack, we'll get along just good this year.
Amen.
So it is kind of my job to, like, you know, advertise crossover. But on a serious note, I do it more as a friend than I do as a professional on a business side. Crossover Paranormal is a really amazing group. If you're on my Facebook, because Lord knows there's like 5,000 people on there. I don't even know who anymore. I've actually linked to the group numerous times. They are on Facebook. They do have a website. You guys got to go and check them out. They've been all over the TV and back. They just got their Nick back not too long ago, although he's not able to chat with us on the phone, and the group is headed for some pretty amazing things, so you guys got to keep up on that.
I appreciate that, girl. Yeah, everything was going great. Things were just booming. I mean, once we broke away from our old group and started crossover, it was like a roller coaster just took off, and it was crazy for the first year and a half, and then my mom got diagnosed with cancer, and we decided to kind of take a break, you know, and I was spending more family time. Nick was working on some projects, and Jeff was working on some projects, so we were still together, but we were, you know, taking a break for a bit, and we went ahead and shut the Facebook page down and everything, and while I was standing there at my mom's funeral, and I was speaking, and I had her, you know, laying behind me, and I'm looking at everybody while I'm talking, and, you know, when I actually said it out loud is when I realized, you know, I need to be in the paranormal field. And what I said that made me realize that was, you know, whenever I would go somewhere with mom or to her work, take her to a doctor's appointment, you know, she would introduce me. She wouldn't say, "Hey, this is so-and-so. This is my son, Brian." You know, she always said, "Hey, this is my son, the ghost hunter." You know, so, you know, when I actually said that out loud, I realized, you know, damn, you know, mom was proud of what all we had done and what we were doing. And I'm like, all right, I need to get my ass back out there and get back in the field. So so we got back together and fired up a new crossover page. So, yeah, the likes aren't nearly as what we had before, but we'll get there. And we brought in Brendan Shea as another investigator and my wife Tracy. So now crossover consists of myself and Nick, Jeff Wickenbeard Cochran, Brendan Shea, and my wife Tracy. So that's where we are now. Oh, and some friends of ours that now live down south, we actually started up a southern chapter of Crossover Paranormal, so they're taking care of things down south, and we'll take care of things up north.
We'll define down south and throw them a plug.
Yeah. Nathan and Kristen Poe. That's they're the two in charge of the chapter down there, and They'll do great things down there, I know. But you were asking, let's see, so I guess go back to your question before. Crossover was formed by Nick and myself. We met when we were with another group before. We were with that group for 4.5 years, I think, and decided to break away so we could kind of freelance and work with other groups and learn from other groups, and that's what we did. And once we broke away from them, the first year, let's see, we filmed the episode of My Ghost Story. We were part of Children of the Grave 2. We were doing conventions, it seemed like, every other month. And then doing the investigations. And like, it just, like I said, it just took off like crazy. And after, you know, once Mom got diagnosed, that's when we decided to, you know, slow down and kind of pause and take a break. But Nick and I, we built a really close bond while we were with the previous group. You know, we were always investigating together, and so we formed Crossover, and here we are. You know, we're back at it. We took our break. Everything's in order, and we're back at it.
Good deal. Definitely my my sympathies on your mother. I went through the same exact thing with mine. Definitely a rough way to watch a loved one go.
Yeah, but, yeah, it is. And you know, it was almost like a scene in a movie. And you know, us as investigators, as paranormal investigators, we try to put pieces of puzzle together to form a storyline. Sometimes, and you know, my wife went to take my mom to her chemo that morning, and my dad and myself, we talked to Mom that morning before we went into work, and she sounded great. You know, we're like, all right, Mom, well, we'll talk to you later. Love you, bye. You know, and we go on into work. Well, for some reason, my wife was like, you know, I'm gonna go over and check on her and make sure, you know, she's taking her medicine and she's dressed and. Her, you know, she showered or whatever, everything, she's ready to go to chemo. Well, when she did, Mom wasn't in real good shape. It happened real sudden. So she calls the ambulance, they get her out to the hospital, and, you know, of course, me and my brother and my dad, you know, we all have seen my mom at this point, and they tell us the next 24 to 48 hours are critical. If she makes it within the next 24 hours, she'll probably make it, but if not, you know, that's it. So my niece and nephew came in and seen Mom. Tracy and myself decided that we probably shouldn't let the kids see her. But when we realized that, you know what, this is probably it, we went ahead and let the kids come in. And so at this point, now everybody has seen Mom, or, you know, Mom knew that everybody was there. We were standing around her bed getting ready to pray, and my brother was out in the hall. So we were in prayer, and all of a sudden I felt a hand on my shoulder. At the time, I didn't realize it was my brother, but just about a minute after my brother came in the room, the nurses all rushed in with the crash cart. She had passed away. You know, it was almost like she was holding on, waiting for all of her grandkids to come in and see her. And then while we were in prayer, it was like she was waiting for her three guys, her three men, to be in the room together, me, my dad, and my brother. And once my brother came in the room, you know, that was it. Real, not real peaceful. You know, she didn't struggle or anything. And so, you know, she's much better off now.
Yeah. Well, you know, I kind of went through the same with mine. I took my mom to her last oncologist appointment. They mentioned hospice, and I could just watch every ounce of fight leave her face. On the way home, she asked, all right, well, how are you guys going to work schedules? Who's going to stay with me and take care of me and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Mom, they mentioned it. They didn't say, you know, this is the end of the fight. She's like, no, son, I'm pretty sure this is the end of the fight. You know, I've battled with it long enough. Within 2 days after that, like I said, I could see every ounce of fight leave her face that day.
Yeah.
And that was on, I want to say that was a Monday. Well, on Wednesday, she was just completely out of it. Thursday, I went by to see her, and I couldn't stand seeing her like that. So I finally, you know, I held her hand and I promised her I'll do my best to look after Dad and you go on to the other side and be with granddaddy and grandmother and Bud, which was my brother who passed when I was 16. And there just seemed like a calm came over the room. And once I let her know that, you know, I was going to try to take care of everything here as best I could. But, you know, we really didn't have any other family to come around and be there. There just wasn't a whole lot of us in this area.
Right.
But come Friday, I told my boss, I said, I'm probably not coming back over, you know, after the weekend. I'll probably be off all next week. Just not expecting Mom to make it through the weekend. And that was while I was leaving work on Friday. I called him back 10 minutes later and told him I just got the phone call and Mom passed.
Wow.
But, you know, it was one of those where she went peacefully once she realized that, you know, everything would be okay. Yeah, and it's one of those where, you know, in the field that we're in, I'd love to be able to step back now and be able to talk to her and go, okay, were you able to sit back and wait? You know, were you waiting on something in particular, you know, et cetera, you know, just to find out those questions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, you know, those are questions that we'll never know until we're in that situation.
Exactly.
But truthfully, when it comes down to a loved one and stuff like that, as much as you want to know, you don't want to know. Because if you can get an answer to that, you're going to have a whole directory of questions that comes through of, well, was it painful? Was it? And it's just some things are better off left well alone, and we'll figure them out when we get there unless we have that spirit that comes through that we have no emotional attachment to that says, hey, this is what it's like. I'm going to give you the A, B, and C's right now. Which,
yeah, that's, you know, with all,
phenomenal.
I mean, with all the family that I've lost, I have yet to try to contact them in any EVP sessions or, you know, through abilities or anything else. Excuse me. One of the things that was said to me a while back was, if you can't contact them, shouldn't you think of that as a good sign that they're not earthbound, that they're not stuck here, that they've already crossed over and they're at peace? Well, it made absolute sense to me. But on the other turn of the coin, why are so many able to respond to EVP sessions and, you know, et cetera? You know, that, and again, until we're on that side, we're not going to know
that
answer.
But in that aspect, do you think that absolutely means that they're earthbound? Or, like me personally, I don't believe you have to be earthbound, but if you want to come back and let your family know that you're okay, I would imagine that you'd have the capability of doing so.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, here's the... A different aspect. If you want to, you know, touch on the religious side, you know, my belief is I was raised Christian, so I had a pastor come up to me and say that he thought what we do was interesting, you know, and to hear that from a Christian pastor was like, I was a bit shocked, and I said, really? I said, why so? He said, how do we don't really know what heaven and hell is. You know, if you do believe in heaven and hell, we don't really know what it is. He said, how do we not know that some of the spirits that you're contacting, you know, if you're contacting them and they sound like a child, how do we not know that they grew up and lived a long, healthy life, like, for instance, at the post-town school? And some of the happiest moments of their life was at the school as a child, and then maybe they had a favorite family vacation spot down in Florida. Then they had, you know, their home where they lived all their lives, and just different parts of their life, some of the happiest moments in their lives could be part of their heaven. And it's not that they're stuck at the school or at that place in Florida or wherever, but when we do capture that brief EVP is when we're making contact with them while they're in that part of their heaven. And, you know, to hear that theory from a Christian pastor was, I was a bit taken back because, I mean, me personally, I find it an interesting theory, you know. And once again, those are some of the theories and stuff as investigators that we strive to find the answer for. But once again, unfortunately, probably never will know until we're on that threat.
And I guess I didn't term that right. I didn't mean earthbound as in they're stuck here.
No, not you.
Well, one of the theories that was posed to me, and it was actually a question from somebody that I didn't expect this, can you from spirit come back and forth and visit family, or, you know, well, what if you believe in reincarnation, you know, and your soul gets reincarnated, how in the hell are you still coming back to talk? Well, that's a valid point. So, you know, again, it leads us right back in that same loop of, yeah, until I'm on that side, or, you know, until Matt or I pass away one, which, you know, with the pack that we have, well, he's just going to get a bunch of bullshit gibberish EVPs if I die first. But
oh, no, we've already talked about that. We're going to haunt the shit out of each other and give each other nothing of validation whatsoever. It's going to be like baby bottle kitten diaper.
Yeah, I'm going to have to come out there and sit you both in a timeout. All right, look, I know you guys have moved on to the other side, but you go sit in your corner and you go sit in yours, all right?
Oh, Sarah, Dennis, you have, like, ninja status. If you pass away and you can creep up on Tara because you have that connection to the other side, you can be like, no, fucker, shut up. No, I'm going to get her. I'm going to get her. And I know you're going to ninja Tara. And I'll be sitting back there cheering.
I'm just saying, you really think Dennis can scare me? Dennis is afraid of me. Ask him.
Oh, no. Not that he'll scare you.
What dream
is
this world?
Quiet,
no,
Grandpa.
Now that's
evil card again.
No. You know what, Tara, now that's valid, it's not an insult anymore.
Aww.
So now Dennis is great-grandpa.
Oh, trust me, it'll be a long damn time before I'm great-grandpa. Jesus. God, don't make him rush through things too fast. But I am glad, and this is just my personal statement. I mean, I'm glad that the baby's healthy either way, but I'm glad it's a boy because I can deal with one prick in this world so much easier than every prick in this world.
Yes, I will fool you on that one.
Grandpa would be the, well, you know, the oh, I can't think of the artist. Cleaning my gun. Y'all just run along and have a little fun and be right here. Yeah, that's going to be me. Yeah, I'm going to be calling my daughter going, they out on a date tonight? Yes. Where'd they go? I think I need dinner out. Oh, hell. They'll either treat me like a mushroom, stick me in the dark and feed me bullshit, or they'll keep me posted on everything, and in which case, some poor little boy would be in deep doo-doo. So, at least having a grandson, I won't be but so bad about it.
There you go.
Yeah, you will. I know you. Yes, you will.
Biscuits?
So, Brian, yes, we are actually going to get into the paranormal. So how was I know we've been talking about all this deep shit for a long time now, but what was the story you guys did on My Ghost Story?
The story for My Ghost Story was based on our experiences at the Post Town Elementary School here in Middletown. It all started off, a good friend of ours is related to Daryl Wisman, the caretaker there at the school. And he said, hey, a buddy of mine, you know, does these investigations. If you really think something's going on, you know, you come out and check it out. So he's like, all right, call him up. So, John called us up, and we went out there. And, you know, as you guys know, you know, you don't always get stuff on command, and especially the first time you go to a place, you know. And, things were just kind of off the hook that day. The very first time we were there, and we kept going back, and next thing you know, Daryl gave us the key to the place. And then all of a sudden, he, you know, as we're putting stuff on YouTube and everything, people are starting to contact him and wanting to come through, and he's like, how do we do this? So we sat down and, you know, kind of talked it over with him about doing tours at the school, and we got that set up, and we were doing tours at the school for a while, and things just kind of progressed and got more active as the time went along. So we contacted My Ghost Story and gave them some evidence and stuff, and they were like, yeah, let's do an episode. So that was our episode of My Ghost Story was from Pocastown Elementary.
And have you guys been back there since?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I live like 1.6 miles away. So we're there often. You know, we're still real good close friends with Brenda and Daryl. And then Jay Lynch and Teresa Lynch with Hindsight Paranormal, they do the tours at the school now. When we go down there and help out, you know, from time to time, and just go down and hang out with, you know, Jay and Teresa have basically, and Daryl, you know, we're all pretty much like family now. You know, we've known each other for a while, and you know, we investigate together. We actually, when we do investigations outside of the school, and even at the school, you know, whenever it's, you know, members from Crossover and members of Hindsight working together, we joke and say that the third team is Cross-Site Paranormal. And you know, so it's, you know, we've got a good chemistry, good relationship with them. You know, they're like family, you know. It's good to have people like that, you know, that you can rely on and trust, you know.
So what kind of activity have you all gotten at Post Town?
I mean, pretty much everything. I mean, people being physically touched. I don't want to say it's a scratch or a whip. I really don't know what it was, because it started off at a point and got wider as it went up, and then went back to a point. And when I felt it happen, this was actually, the evidence of this was on My Ghost Story as well. I told Nick, I said, hey man, something's going on with my back, you know. And I lift my shirt up and I untucked my undershirt and I lift it up, and everybody, you know, we were actually doing a tour at the time, and, you know, they were looking at it and they said, yeah, there's a little mark there. And they were like, whoa, it's getting bigger. You know, they actually, like, watched it form on my back. Disembodied voices, shadows. I mean, yeah, a little bit of everything. People have claimed to see, you know, a full-body apparition. I've yet to see that. But there are people that have seen, you know, full-body apparitions at the school. Shadows a lot. Yeah, it's on a consistent level. It's probably, I'd say, the most active place I've ever been in, and it's you know, nothing like real crazy all the time, but generally you have something happen just about every time you're there. Of course, there are a lot of nights, you know, that it's just there's nothing going on, and that's just how it is, you know. I don't care what anybody says. Activity doesn't happen every time, every night, on command or off command, but consistently, that's a pretty active place.
Cool. So, aside from that being the most active, what was your biggest oh shit moment during an investigation? I mean, we ask everybody that, but some of the answers are just phenomenal.
Well, as far as being, for lack of better word, scared, frightened, I would say Mansfield. While we were in at Mansfield, we were standing down in the solitary confinement area, and a good friend of ours, Scotty Rourke, was inside the cell, and he's, you know, a psychic medium, and he's telling us that there's another prisoner in there with him, and this prisoner is telling him all these things that he's going to do to Scotty, you know, prison life, and I'm like, man, whatever. I'm like, come on, come out of there. Let me go in. So Scotty comes out. I go in the cell, and everybody else is outside the cell, and they're kind of, you know, looking in at me, and you know, I'm trying to get something to happen. I've got my voice recorder in my right hand, and you know, I'm getting nothing. And Scotty's telling me, oh, he don't like you in there. He says you're a little guy. He likes his men big, you know, and all this stuff. So I'm like, all right, look, you know, I'm locked up now. This is my cell. I'm doing the time. You know, you're dead. Your time's over. This ain't your cell anymore, whatever. I was like, if you want me out of the cell, you're going to have to push me out. And about a minute later, I hear something move past me, which basically sounded like just like a gust of wind. Like, you know, I hear that go past me. And at the same time I hear that, before I react to it, Scotty and Shannon, the historian there at the prison, and a couple other people were standing outside looking in at me. Before I had a chance to react, they were like, holy shit! I'm like, whoa, what's going on? They're like, Brian, a black mass went past you and is standing behind you right now. I was like, you guys can see this black mass behind me right now. They're like, yes. Yeah. I was like, all right, I guess you want me out of your cell. So I'm going to go ahead and leave. So I just casually stepped out of the cell. You know, that was I guess my oh shit moment. And then on a different level, we were doing an investigation. My daughter loves this story. We were doing an investigation of a house that was historically part of the Underground Railroad, and supposedly. Random psychics and mediums have seen this slave lady in the corner holding her baby that she had to kill. And, you know, for those of you listening, you know, that don't know some of the history about that, when the slaves were being transported through these underground tunnels, if their babies were crying, sometimes they would, you know, cover their mouth so that they wouldn't get caught. And sometimes, you know, they would accidentally smother their baby and their baby would die. So one guy standing in the corner, once again, he's trying to get something to happen. It doesn't seem like anything happens. So he comes out and I'm like, all right, so I stand in the corner now. And, you know, I'm trying to make contact with her and get nothing. And I say, look, you know, I'm a father myself. I said, I have children. I said, I can't begin to imagine what it was like to lose your child, let alone accidentally take the life of your child. So I held my arms out. I said, can I hold your child? Will you let me hold your baby for a moment? And at that moment, it wasn't like just one tear slowly came down my cheek. Like, I was whimpering. I was hit with this overwhelming emotion of sadness that was just, I mean, it was unreal. And it wasn't like, you know, a tear, another tear, and like they slowly started forming. It was just like I instantly was just weeping. And that to me was a very emotional moment, probably the most extreme that I've had, you know, because I'm not, you know, psychic or anything like that, but to have that, you know, that happen was pretty overwhelming.
Now, have you ever picked up emotions at other locations that, you know, weren't yours that you couldn't justify?
No.
Cool.
I've never had that happen since, and I hadn't happened before. That was the first time. And being a skeptic, you know, even now, today, you know, I sit back and I wonder, I'm like, did I overthink it? Did my imagination, you know, because I did say I can't begin to imagine what it was like to lose my child. Did I basically put myself in her shoes and kind of bring it upon myself? Or did this lady really convey her amount of sadness to me, you know? It's something that I'm still, you know, I don't know. You know, I think that it was her, you know, reaching out to me and conveying that emotion to me. But, you know, that skeptic side of me, you know, the possibilities there that, you know, it was me creating that emotion. But I don't know.
Well, that's what I love about this field is we don't know. We try to know, but we honestly, truly don't know. And even it's one of those things you truly do honestly have to take the good with the bad. You know, and like, oh yeah, I got everything. It's so happy. Or oh, I was bawling my fucking eyes out, and I have absolutely no idea why. And with that, I mean, and it's not just like, oh wow, look what happened. Like I was uncontrollably crying. It's you're experiencing what something on some emotional level is affecting you, whether it's influence from something that we have absolutely no idea that is around us, or it's just you've read the stories, you've thought about what is going on, you're processing it, and you personally relate that to yourself, and you become instantly empathetic at that point.
Right.
And no matter what it is, if it's self-inflicted or it's otherworldly inflicted, there's still a moment of empathy that happens at that time.
Exactly.
And you relate,
yep.
And you still want to help.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've never had that emotion come out, but I've been in, well, my favorite room where I can't go in, like my favorite location, every time I go in there, I've got one room that I'm called a fucker every time. Always. And it's always the same voice, which is a peculiar part to me. But, I've had one instance in there where I just started getting pissed off, but I don't know if it was an outside influence or, you know, just myself. But every single time I go in that room, I'm called a fucker. And one occasion, I actually had, you know, I just started being angry and I didn't know why.
Huh.
Now,
you know,
Dennis, I'm starting to notice a pattern, though. That
yeah, I know. Called a fucker, angry. Yeah, I know. It's all me, brother.
But then, no, I mean, let's even bring it closer to me. When you did a remote viewing of Cherry Road, you got punched straight in the fucking nose.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. I'd rather they called me a fucker than punch me in the nose.
I'm thinking they just, I really honest to God think that they just understand who they're dealing with, and they're extremely
accordingly.
Awesome judgment of character.
Oh. You know, keep in mind, brother, your laptop's not running, so I'm running
here,
the board. I have my finger hovering over the mute button as
speak. Yeah, here. I know, here comes the mute button. No, you know I love you, man. Come on.
But, yeah, I mean,
by the way, Dennis, I did mean to tell you, using that mute button like that all the time is kind of the chicken way out, isn't it there, mister?
You know, it's just a good way to poke fun at him. That's my
you do it to me,
Tara.
Too.
Point
I do
two,
not.
Tara.
When did I mute Tara?
When did you mute me? Excuse me, the last show we had where we had another RT client on, you muted me because I called you out, homie.
I don't remember this. I think you're making up stories now. I wouldn't do such a thing.
Hey, at least I can plead ignorance to that because, yes, my laptop has not been working, which, Dennis, I do have a new motherboard for that I'm was in the middle all day of trying to dig out of another HP. So it should be up and running soon to where I can mute your fucking ass, too. But, no, I can plead ignorance. I had absolutely no idea about that. If he muted you, Tara, then Dennis, yeah, no. That ain't cool. You don't mute Tara.
I cried all night long. You have no idea. It totally depressed me and ruined my whole day.
Yeah, see?
Oh, my God. I am so glad I am sitting with my feet on a footstool because the shit's getting deep in here and I don't want my Nikes wet.
I'm sorry, you didn't buy that one? No, whatever. It works.
It was a good try. I tried to help
out.
Yeah, but
I tried. You know, whatever.
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is why this is Full Spectrum Unleashed.
Oh, we haven't got Unleashed yet.
Oh, yeah. If you're sensitive to vulgarities, tough shit, hit mute yourself.
I have a question for Brian, though, for real. And it's a serious question because we need to be talking about paranormal, yo. Why am I keeping your radio show on track? This ain't my radio show.
Full Spectrum Tara style.
I will be nice. I'm sorry. I'm in a feisty mood today, ain't I?
To whoever it is that peed in Tara's Wheaties, fuck you. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Hey, be nice to me. So, Brian.
I am.
Did you want to tell everybody, because you guys were not only on Bio, but you were on Sci-Fi as well. Was it both of those shows with Post Town?
Well, the other show was, part of it was at Post Town. There was actually four locations in Children of the Grave Part 2. Lymph Mansion, Post Town Elementary, the poorhouse in Bangs, Ohio, and oh my gosh, I can't think of the fourth place.
Put you on the spot. I'm sorry,
but we were part of two of the four places there in that film, Post Town and then the poorhouse in Bangs, Ohio. And I tell you what, I mean, dang it, there's another kind of oh crap moment. While we were filming Children of the Grave 2. I wasn't even supposed to be on camera at this point. I was doing lights and sound, and Keith Age kind of got bored, you know, with he wasn't really seeing anything on the thermal, so he just moved the thermal over towards me, and I seen the look on his face, and he looked back down at the thermal, and he looked back up at me, and I was like, "What's going on, Keith?" He goes, "Hand somebody those lights. Get rid of those lights." So I handed the lights off to somebody else, and he's asking me to, you know, move this arm, move that arm, and you know, I'm like, "What are you seeing?" He's like, "I'm not sure." And about that time, you know, Philip and Christopher and Nick, they all kind of stand behind Keith and some other people there that was on set too, stands behind Keith, and they're looking at it and they're trying to analyze what this is that they're seeing standing next to me. And they're like, "Brian, start investigating." So I start asking questions, you know, trying to get some action. And I hold my hand out and my hand started to feel, it wasn't cold, but it was kind of like when your arm goes to sleep, those pins and needles, this tingly feeling. I felt that. They're like, because they asked me, they're like, "Put your arm out and see if you feel anything cold over there." And I put my arm out, and I was like, "It ain't cold, but my arm's tingling, you know." And they're like, I heard them say, "It's got to be a double shadow of him somehow." And they thought that they were picking up a double thermal shadow of me, because on the outside of the wall, it was an exterior wall that was, we were three stories high. So there's no way somebody could have been standing on the outside of that wall and their heat, you know, coming through the wall. So you could see me, my thermal image, and then you could see, like, my thermal shadow on the wall. And then there was something else right next to me, and it was mimicking me like a child would. And all of a sudden, they all freak out. And... you know, when you see Keith and Nick and the Booth brothers, you see them guys freak out over something they're seeing on this screen of this camera. I'm standing there like, what's going on, guys? You know, but what happened was, you know, well, I guess I'll just leave that up for suspense. Little teaser there. Yeah, I guess you just have to get a copy of Children of the Grave 2 and check it out. Or, you know, catch it when it comes back on Sci-Fi or Chiller Channel there, and see yourself what happens to me. But it was pretty crazy.
You gotta love those moments when everybody with the technology sees shit that you don't.
Right?
And it's right around you, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Just stay still, dude. There's somebody right next to you. Just stay still.
Exactly. That's basically like what they were saying, yeah.
If you feel something touching you, don't jump. Don't move.
Right. This is good shit here.
Oh, yeah. You getting that shit? Look, he's just standing there.
And, you know,
don't move or you'll fuck up the video.
All right.
Okay. What the hell am I
supposed
to do?
Look, I'm taking pictures
up?
And you're blurring my pictures. Can you just stand still? So what? He's touching you, all
right? Right. You know, the kids, when it debuted and my kids seen it, you know, what I said in there, you know, while I was trying to investigate, you know, and I'm like, you know, hey, you know, I've got kids at home. You know, I was like, if you're lonely, I was like, you can come play with my kids. So when the kids seen that, they were like, "Dad, did you really?" I was like, "Hey, nice.
Really, Dad?
Nice.
You're inviting spirits into our house now?"
Right. I'm just trying to be nice.
You know what, man? I don't know if you ever had this happen or not, but I had something follow me home one time. It was around me for a week, and that was a horrible, horrible fucking week. And I am not one to say that yeah, shit can follow you home, or it can do this, that, the other thing. Like, no, that's totally, completely not me. But no, Dennis saw it. I had 5 people contact me throughout the week that have abilities that were saying, what the hell's around you right now? And I didn't contact them. And, yeah, I had a week where my life was fucking hell.
Gosh. Now, the only time I feel something has, you know, followed me home, it wasn't anything bad. You know, just some stuff happening around the house. But, no, I haven't had anything like that.
Yeah, like my animals got sick. Like, it was – and it wasn't chain of events. Like, oh, it's in the back of my head. Like, this is something – and Dennis knows this firsthand, it wasn't that, because he knows how neurotic I am about paranormal shit. But no, it was definitely like, well, not definitely a spirit, but there was definitely some sort of alternate energy in my house where the 2 of my pets had to go to the vet. I was nowhere near myself. Shit was moving throughout the house. Like, it was fucked up for about a week.
Wow. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And still the best one, though, has got to be what Jeff did to him.
Wait, which...
As far as full description and everything else on that...
Oh, Jeff Resman?
Yeah.
No, the one I'm talking about, the shit that followed me home, was the Naomi's house one. Not
right.
Not the yeah.
That's
not
had a
Audrey.
Couple of them clinging to him that make it quite interesting. Definitely make that interesting.
So, Dennis and Brian, have you guys ever had anything that you felt followed you home or attached to you?
I didn't know it at the time, you know, afterwards, like I said, some things happening at the house that we definitely couldn't explain, and some friends, you know, validated it for me, Cassidy Ray being one of them. Nick... Actually, we were investigating Twin City Opera House, I think was the name of the place. And, you know, we're the type, you know, we don't provoke unless it's, you know, like in a prison or something. You know, we feel like, and even then it's a little, I guess, iffy, just out of respect for the spirit, you know, because that spirit, at one point was somebody's mother or father or sister, or brother, or son, you know. So just out of respect for them, you know, we don't, you know, gee, did I demand you to do something, you MFer, you know, we don't do that. Well, at this place, everything was cool. We were our normal selves. And then when we get down into the basement, you know, we found out that something dark was down there. Well, Nick, out of nowhere, he starts, GD this, you son of a bitch that, MF this, and I was like, what the hell's got in the dick? You know, it was like, he especially don't say GD, you know, just normal, let alone during an investigation. And, you know, after every investigation, no matter how far the drive, even if we're just going back to the hotel, you know, Nick would always be, like, all pumped up, you know, after an investigation, no matter what time of night. He'd always drive. He's like, man, here, I'll drive. And I'd be like, all right, cool, because I'm beat. Well, that night, when we get out to the car, he's like, man, I'm sorry, but I can't help you drive. And I was like, that's fine, I'm good. I was feeling all jacked up at this point, you know. I'm like, I'm good. So we start driving, and I could tell he definitely wasn't himself. He looked over at me and he was like, Brian, have you ever felt like something followed you home from an investigation? And I was like, you know, possibly, you know, I think it could happen. He was like, and what should we do? I was like, well, you know, we'll say like a protection prayer or whatever, and let whatever's here know that, you know, they can't come home with us, you know, and all that good stuff. She's like, all right, I think we should do it. I'm like, all right, because I wasn't feeling anything, you know, but he obviously was. So we do it, and as we're getting onto the highway, he looked over at me, kind of paused for a moment, and he's like, all right, cool. And I'm like, dude, what's the matter? He wouldn't tell me for the longest time because in his head he could hear him telling me, and he knew that I'd be like, dude, whatever. You know, he's like, it just sounded too ridiculous to believe. But he felt like something, you know, didn't possess him, but was latched onto him in a sense. And after we, you know, said what we said, he said he could feel almost like from the top of his head down through his body, like this, the pressure being released, and he could actually kind of feel it leave his fingertips. And from that point on, the rest of the drive home, he was his normal, crazy, wild Nick self, you know. So I know Nick definitely has had that experience, but, you know, I didn't realize something had followed me home until my wife tells me that something's here and it's all my fault.
Wow. I have definitely been blessed. These guys know, and I'm not sure if you do, Brian, outside of working for Resurrection Talent, I've actually been in school for a number of years, and all of my training is spiritual training, so that I am a spiritual advisor, a spiritual counselor, blessings, cleansings, yeah, pretty much all of it. And
right.
There are spirits in my house. However, there are spirits in my house because I actually asked them to be here to work with me to help people like Mother Mary and St. Michael, and I use all of the archangels and such like that. So I definitely, before I got into that, the purpose of that was so that I could actually help clients. Somebody had approached me at one point in time and asked me directly, well, that's great, you can give them all this evidence, but how are you going to help them? My response to that was to educate myself. But before that, when I actually got into the paranormal field almost 17 years ago, I was too afraid of having something follow me home with the kids in the house. So I more sat back and watched than I did actively get involved for many, many, many years. I guess in all of that, I truly have been blessed that nothing has attached or followed or resided or any of those things. I keep praying and blessing that they don't.
Right.
Well, and to be honest, like, Tara, I have to commend you on that, which I do every show that you're on, but the truth of the matter is there's so many people that are in this field that try and help above and beyond what their actual abilities or contacts are, or they don't want to outsource to anybody because they don't, that like, they want the credit for it. And that's not what this shit is about. It's especially in a private residence. If you have somebody who contacts you because they have stuff going on, if it's something you can't handle, pass it off.
Absolutely.
Don't try and go above and beyond your means and all that. And I have one that I'm working on right now, which Dennis has helped me out on. Bishop Reiki's helped me out on. Or she was there. She didn't actually get the time to help out. She was there to help, I should say, and then it got called off for this weekend. But it's just, and Dennis, would you 100% agree that it's above and beyond anything that I could do and should have been outsourced?
Oh, I agree. And it was above where I felt comfortable from this distance. That's why I recommended you contact Bishop Reiki and discuss it with her. And, you know, this one, just because of the amount of everything that's there or that we're being told, you know, I even if it were here local, I wouldn't have wanted to undertake it on my own. I would have, without a doubt, you know, reached out for help. You know, just because I can do CPR does not mean I should, you know, punch your trachea in and try to intubate. You know, there's a limit to what I know, and, well, no truer words have ever been said. Man must know his own limitations.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's like
have you dropped your phone or something, Brian? We can't hardly understand.
I was gonna say, is Brian speaking in mumbles right now?
is this better?
Yeah.
All right. you know, having, you know, met people across the country and you know, have those people at your disposal, it is nice to have, you know, because, well, first of all, you know, we don't live far at all from Bishop James Long, so, you know, it's nice to have him as well. And I told him, I was like, hey, don't think for one moment if we get a case that something like that, that I'm not going to call you. He was like, call me anytime. And I'm telling you, if we ever come across something like that I think is legit and something is seriously going on to that extreme, yeah, I've got a family to think about. I'm not gonna, you know, dabble in something like that is way over my head.
Should I ask him the question that I got everybody else with, you guys?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Brian.
Yeah, I'm going to put you on the spot. I told you, you're totally not going to talk to me anymore after this. Thank God I'll always have Nick to talk to. No. It is a question that I ask every investigator that I come across, rather I've known them for years on end or I just met them. I also had a lecture at a Paracon where I posed the same question, so I'll ask you.
All right. So the answer to your question, I'm just going to go ahead and answer your question now. No, I have never been molested by a succubus.
Oh, okay. I don't have to pull out the court, where did he touch you, doll? No?
Right.
Okay.
No.
Okay. But on a serious note, what I asked everyone in the way that I presented it is most investigators sit down in client investigation or public investigation. They pull out their flashlights and they pull out their voice recorders and they sit and they ask a number of questions. In that aspect, they're provoking a spirit no matter how you look at it. I'm provoking you for a response right now. I'm not being rude or ignorant, but I'm provoking you.
Right.
So what is the difference between doing that and sitting down with a candle on a table and a Ouija board?
There's absolutely no difference at all. I think using a Ouija board is basically the same aspect as using a crystal as a pendulum, using a flashlight, using a K2. It's just on a different type of field. I mean, it's going to spell out something instead of just flash on for yes or swing back and forth for yes or, you know. So, yeah, I'm definitely not against it. I think if used improperly, you know, if you don't, you know, close the session out, you know, I think it can be, if it's used improperly, it can be bad or whatever. But it's, I guess, the same line of table tipping. Table tipping, using a Ouija board, using a flashlight, using a K2. It's all basically, it's the same thing. You're looking for a response or an answer from an item. You're just getting a different response from. You know, one's spelling things out, another one is swinging a particular pattern, or lights coming on, or different color lights are coming on. So, I don't think there's any difference at all.
Yeah, and Tara, I have to say, since you posed that question to me, I have to say thank you, because eBay has been quite lucrative in selling all the shit that I bought over the past couple of years as far as my equipment, because, yeah, there's no point in using it. I might as well just go buy a Parker Brothers product and say hi.
Well, I do have that article still up. Where at the bottom of it, it does say, you know, Hasbro doesn't have a company set up in the depths of hell manufacturing toys to children everywhere. Yeah, I do. There's another article that was recently released, and I'll have to look it up, but it's basically where scientists are trying to prove how the Ouija board works, and they found in their studies, per se, I just came across the article today, so I'm not really... I don't know it frontwards and backwards. You have to work with me here. Anyways, what they found in doing their studies is that a lot of it has to do with the subconscious mind. So the plank is actually being moved by the person, even though they don't realize they're moving the plank. And some people could look at that and feel as though it's a psychic or intuitive thing. Other people can look at it from a psychological viewpoint. I mean, it really just depends who you are.
And, you know, I look at it from the psychological point, and it's a good thing that I'm glad that you brought that up, because along the same lines of the dowsing rods, I am so against dowsing rods, not against, but skeptical, I guess you'd say, just because of the fact that, like what you're saying, you may not know that you are squeezing the handle a little harder, or moving a little bit, what if, you know, like you said, subconsciously, you want the answer to that question to be yes, so, you know, your mind sends these neurological signals to your hands and creates them to move or what have you to get that response to make those dowsing rods cross or to make them swing to the right. But intentionally, you didn't do it intentionally, but subconsciously you did. Now, let me ask you this: having brought that up, you know, by maybe moving the item on the Ouija board telepathically, you know, you may not know you have the ability, but at that point, you do tap into that part of your mind where you can move that item. Now, can we imprint an EVP on a recorder telepathically? Is that possible?
As far as that goes, and I was talking with a good friend, Michael Esposito, this past weekend about that. I don't think that you're talking about actually messing with frequencies and stuff like that, as opposed to your subconscious manipulating a oracle, which the oracle being the thing on the Ouija board.
Yeah.
Where the center portion of it, I believe, is called the oracle, if I remember correctly. But anyway, when your hands are on it, if you ask a question and you're freaked out or you have belief in it or anything like that, you don't have to physically process it to make your hands do the movement. Your hands will do the movement.
Right.
It's automation at that point. So... You're expecting it, you're wanting to see that, and your body will do that without actually physically having to move it. And that's happened in a lot a lot of different things, not the Ouija board, but, and same thing with dowsing rods. I mean, you move, it takes a fraction of 1 degree of movement to get those things to actually move.
Right.
Well, I can tell you of a situation that was actually kind of humorous with dowsing rods. You have to realize that they are meant to find a source of water.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm just saying they're intended. That was their initial purpose, was to find a source of water. And I had been in on a public investigation with somebody from another team that was using them and had a full-blown back and forth. The woman was talking to herself. For real.
Yeah,
like, just full-blown conversation. I mean, like we're sitting here and talking, just a whole conversation. And when you look down, she was actually standing just a few feet away from a rather large puddle of water.
Oh, gosh.
That had seeped into the building because the building had been abandoned and it was decaying and not in good form. And so, obviously, you know, the rain had come in and there was water right there.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let's back up, though, because water is a transport and a source of energy for spirits because, and they're going to congregate by it like it's a fucking watering hole in the Sahara for lions and antelope and shit, right?
Matt, you have such a wonderful way with words.
Well, no, it just it makes me like there's a lot of dissection that I've done and of theory of how running water facilitates paranormal activity because of the motion of the water creates these fields. It's like, you know what? At that point, you're stretching. I mean, seriously, truthfully, that's what I feel, is that is a stretch. Because a river is flowing doesn't mean there's more ghosts around a river. Seriously?
Right.
Well, I used a latrine one time that I think was pretty damn haunted, and I think it was from the water because I couldn't hit nothing that time. Well, I was in a bar. I was pretty damn drunk. Maybe it wasn't a spirit. Well, it was spirits, just not otherworldly. Never mind. That's another conversation.
Spirit,
I got nothing.
Pay for it.
Somebody's going to hit me. I know it. Now, I will say I did watch an individual use dowsing rods. The location that we were at was pre-Civil War built. Another member of the team had actually, and this was the team that I was with prior, another member of the team had actually conducted the interview. We weren't privy to all of the information that was shared in the client interview. So as he's out in the backyard playing around with dowsing rods, he starts noticing a pattern. So we're taking sticks and putting them in the ground. It's pitch dark outside. I mean, like midnight. When he got done, like he had gone, you know, 30, 40 feet across one direction, say east to west, and he would get a hit about every 3 to 4 feet, and we'd put a stick in the ground. Well, by the time all was said and done, he had actually put markers in the ground in spaces that were really close to a typical grave layout, 5 of them side by side. Then we got to find out that during the client interview, the other team member that had actually performed the questioning and everything had found out that supposedly there were 5 graves across the back of the yard. Correlation? Did I get bullshitted? I don't know. It just struck me as odd, and he seemed pretty damn dumbfounded by what we had discovered. So
I don't know. I mean, I kind of go both ways on the theory and believability of dowsing rods. I mean, I've had to use them in my own job, you know, as a contractor to find the water line running from the street to the house. And I rely on them that way pretty damn close.
Right.
I think there's the possibility for everything to be used successfully. I mean, a spirit, if they want to communicate, is going to use whatever item they want. I've seen a pendulum work. I've seen dowsing rods work. I've seen K2 meters work, and I'm not even really a big fan of those personally. I've heard a ghost box say my name, and by my name, I mean the whole Perfetti Street thing that's not in a dictionary. Yeah. So I just think people rely too heavily on them to believe that they're either communicating full-fledged with a spirit or to hand over to somebody as evidence.
Yeah, no, and I do want to say, like, Tara, you know me, Dennis, you know me, Brian, you really don't know me, but and like when we start talking about the like dowsing rods and all the gimmicky kind of shit that goes along with it, I'm not saying that anybody shouldn't use it,
right?
Because there is not a single expert in this field on anything.
Oh, no.
Everybody's a everybody is a student. Everybody is a prospector. It's just,
yep.
You know, it's going to take that one thing and that one experiment at that one time, and all the stars are going to align, and aliens are going to come down, and it's going to be fucking phenomenal for whoever gets that one piece of evidence. That is irrefutable. But... And that's, you know, and that's one thing that Dennis and I have been, like, we talked to everybody about it, is there's not a single expert in this field.
No.
Well, the other thing is,
Brian, let me ask you this. Matt made mention of that one piece of evidence that is, you know, irrefutable, undeniable. Here is, you know, absolute proof that this exists, and, well, what would that one piece of evidence be in your mind that would put beyond the shadow of a doubt that we're actually able to talk to the dead?
Hmm. Wow.
That's the most common answer I get. See, the trouble is, even if you say I have the perfect piece of evidence that beyond the shadow of a doubt proves it, it's my opinion.
Right, exactly. You know, unless you were there, other people are going to pick it apart. So no matter how, you know, like you said, solid, irrefutable piece of evidence that absolutely proves that, you know, ghosts exist, spirits exist, somebody out there is going to, you know, say, no, sorry, that's fake.
Ooh, Dennis, everybody, I know what it is. It's a orb from a digital camera that
and
is
dances in. It has to do the chicken dance.
And when you zoom in, on that orb,
it looks like a portal to hell.
Yeah, despite all the pixelation when you zoom in on something like that, and despite all that, yeah, you can see that. I'm with you. That's got to be it.
I still think we need to be able to capture an orb doing the chicken dance, and that will make me believe.
You know what? Now that you say that, I think one of the coolest EVPs, if this was to ever happen, it would definitely by far be my favorite piece of evidence. If I caught it, or if anybody else caught it, it would still be my favorite piece of evidence. If during an investigation you sneeze and you get an EVP that says "bless you," I swear, I think that would be so cool. I know it's not nothing huge or nothing, but I think that would be an awesome piece of evidence.
Speaking of funny EVPs, I don't think I actually told Dennis and Matt, but I was at an investigation a couple of weeks back, and we were running a voice recorder session, and right after we had gone up into one of the bedrooms of the home, I was talking. I was actually just talking about the history of the house and some other things from the client to the other investigators there, because I was the lead on the case. And on the voice recorder, just as clear as can be, you hear a male voice go, "What's your number?" I had a spirit hitting on me. What can I say? Yeah.
Awesome.
Nice.
You know what? I know we got about 4 minutes left right now, so in live time. So, Brian, if you want to throw out any plugs for the team or any contact info or anything like that, feel free.
Yeah, it's, you know, like Tara was saying, our Facebook page is Crossover Paranormal. Also, the Crossover Paranormal Southern Chapter Facebook page. And then our email, if anybody wants to hit us up, you know, about a case or if you need even just questions, you know, if you got something you need input on, we'll give you our 2 cents, and you can throw it in the trash or whatever you want to do with it, but we'll help out if we can. It's Crossover Paranormal, and then the number 2@yahoo.com. Twitter is Crossover300, so Crossover300. There you go. That's how you can get a hold of us. Once again, if you know of anybody that is breaking bones easily, or you yourself, go to your doctor, try to get a referral to a geneticist, and get some testing done to see if you do have OI or if that person you know has OI. And for more information on OI, how to help raise awareness, go to www. I love saying that. That's just fun. I know you don't have to say it anymore, but I still know it. It's OIF, OIF, as in Frank, .org. And check it out.
All right. And as far as our plugs, well, Tara, did you want to throw any out or?
No, I'm good.
Okay, I know normally you just go, "Hey, follow those guys." So I
yes.
figured I'd give you a chance.
Crossover does
there,
need
hey,
to be
follow
followed. Absolutely. They have really big things in store for them.
Yeah, cool. So make sure to catch up with Crossover Paranormal, ladies and gentlemen. As far as myself and Matt, you can catch us at CPR Matt, CPR Dennis on Facebook and Twitter. You can also catch us at Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers on the Facebook and .com. We're down to a minute and a half left on live, then we'll go into archive.
Hey, Dennis, real quick, for Wednesday on Full Spectrum, normally we don't do this, and I'm sorry, but it's for a damn good cause.
Most definitely.
We're doing something completely non-paranormal whatsoever. I have booked with the director of the Wolf Sanctuary in Colorado to talk about wolves and protection and all that kind of stuff. And Dennis, you have solidified.
I have solidified the founder of Ring Dog Rescue, which is a pit bull rescue organization here in the Richmond area, probably one of the largest pit bull rescues in Virginia. I own 3 pit bulls myself. Trust me, there's nothing they wouldn't do for me. They've never shown aggression to a human, or they're just the absolute best animals I can think of. So,
yeah. So same time, same place on Wednesday. You will catch us with the director of Wolf Sanctuary and a pit bull rescue foundation. So. That.
Which, by the way, the correlation to those...
Hey, quiet. But thank you, Brian. Nick, wish you were able to join us. Thank you, Tara, for joining us, as always. I definitely love everybody, and you're always welcome no matter what.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Greatly appreciate it, guys. And Tara, thank you as well. You guys are all awesome.
Have a good night, you guys.
Yeah, and now we're in archive, and we can keep the party going if you want to.
We can continue conversation. We're just no longer broadcasting live. But those that do go back and pull the archive can listen in. So, Tara, I will answer your question that you asked earlier and I didn't get my input on. Have I ever had anything follow me home or felt like something did? As far as it following me home, I mean, I constantly sense spirits around me, and I know I've got two in my home, footsteps, noises. I can't keep my basement door shut for nothing. So even if I had another one follow me home, I probably wouldn't recognize that it was there. I always say my prayers on the way in and on the way out, and whether it makes a difference, I always tell the spirit at the location I'm at, you're not allowed to follow me home. Does that mean they will listen? No, but it's a peace of mind thing. So,
absolutely.
That answers your question. I wouldn't know
it
if
does.
They follow me or not, because shit gets messed with in my house anyway. I mean, I have a gaming computer down in the basement. It's a mostly finished basement, so it's not like, you know, oh, creepy. Well, it is kind of creepy. Never mind that statement. But I was sitting down there and I'm playing Battlefield, and I closed out my game, and I heard heavy boots walk across my living room from the front door, across the living room, and down the hallway. I knew my family was all tucked in bed. I thought somebody had broke in. The footsteps sounded that loud, that distinct, and that actual that I actually grabbed my sidearm and came up through the house looking to see who had broke in.
Wow.
Didn't see anybody.
But yeah, I was hoping Brian wouldn't have bugged out because he took off and I had a decent amount more questions for him, but
I think he might have actually thought it was the end of the show.
No, and I was said just hang on.
Yeah, well, it happens. I mean, we're always calling back and harassing everyone.
No, I'll just shoot him a message.
But,
he's got a family.
Yeah, I mean,
if he was single, I'd be like, no, we're getting that fucker back on the phone.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, as far as, you know, the energies that are in my house, I already know who they are. I'm smack dab between three of the major battlefields in Richmond. And one of them I know is a Confederate soldier. Actually have identified him by name and been able to go back and look at history books and documentation and everything and verify the information that I got on him. So that was kind of cool.
Hey, Tara, let me ask you this. I've never asked this before, but what is think an EVP is?
I do believe that there are spirits coming through and using the means of the technology around them to communicate. I don't think spirits are stupid. I don't necessarily agree with the people that are like, oh, well, they live before all that stuff and they're not going to know and blah, blah, blah. I don't agree with that. I'm a human being. A spirit is a human being without a shell, per se, like I have. If I'm capable of sitting here and learning how to watch a TV or use a new piece of electronic equipment, I believe that the spirits are capable of doing that as well. They're still human. Why not? So I do believe that some of the, especially when you get those EVPs that are direct, appropriate responses of things that even if you subconsciously wanted to answer, you wouldn't know the answer to. Like when a client I have a client that, as a, she's actually still a client, but one of the sessions we did in her house, she goes, well, you know, she was talking to a significant other of hers that had been murdered some years back, and apparently he had some special name for her. And she had asked him, you know, well, if that's really you, what did you always used to call me? Because you're the only one that's here that would know that. And when we listened to the playback and she got to hear it, didn't make a damn bit of sense to the investigator listening to the EVP because it was some off-the-wall word. But when she heard it, it actually made her physically break down crying because it was exactly what she was expecting to hear. That within itself makes me believe they're able to communicate.
Right. Well, I can understand that because of energy and frequencies and all that. Like, that makes sense to me. What doesn't make sense to me, well, it does in a way, but I'm just wondering your opinion because I lean on the side of, that there's no physical possible way of all the reports of footsteps. If something doesn't have energy and mass as in a physical way, how can it make a footstep?
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily agree that every time I've been in situations where I was listening to a playback and I could clearly tell you what the sound was, and it certainly wasn't a footstep. Other people get so wrapped up in it and so excited that they're getting some kind of evidence or some kind of interaction with a spirit that they're quick to jump on the, oh, my God, did you hear that train? But I do believe that they're capable of making noises should they want to make noises, rather that's a footstep, a scratch on the wall, knocking something over. I mean, I could certainly see where that's possible. Do I know that? I don't know that to be fact. But
that's what I'm saying. If you are not physically being seen, you have no mass. You have no there's nothing to be able to create weight, to create pressure, to create this is the shit that makes me laugh a lot of times and also blows my mind in certain situations. How can something that is invisible, walk and actually have a, to where people are looking up at the ceiling,
a physical
or
footstep that people can hear.
Yeah, or pounding on the walls or something like that. That defies physics.
Yeah, but doesn't a lot of the paranormal defy that? I mean, that's kind of the definition of paranormal.
True.
Is anything that cannot be explained by reason, logic, science.
Thank you. No,
so,
I'm honestly saying thank you because most of the people think paranormal, it's ghosts and shit. It's it has anything that's outside of the normal, that's beyond scientific explanation, is paranormal.
Exactly. It's the very definition of the word. I mean, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a spirit. It doesn't have to be an alien. I've been in situations that have happened that have nothing to do with the spirit world that could very well classify as paranormal based off the very definition of it. So,
yeah, but those are dudes. Dude, guys are paranormal.
No, I didn't. Oh Lord.
All of us are outside of the normal.
Not quite what I meant. But yes, by the very definition, nature of it, it's possible.
Well, anything's possible once it's outside of definition.
Such as stuff moving in your house. If it has no solid weight, no volume, no mass, and you can't see it, how does it pick an item up to move it or throw it? It's the same thing as walking or hitting a wall, or but people have seen it happen.
See, I keep going back to Patrick Swayze in Ghost, where he was learning to flick the bottle cap. I don't know. Maybe there is actual truth to that. I know it's a stretch, but...
I have no idea. I mean, if they can manipulate energy, if they can move an object, who's to say that they're not able to invoke a residual energy as well? You know, footsteps would be more of a residual, certainly not a intelligent.
Footsteps?
Unless, of course, you're asking for footsteps. But, you know, that's a residual energy, I would assume. Now, obviously, I don't know. But if they can manipulate the energy enough to make, words on the obelisk or, you know, things like that, if they can manipulate the energy to move an object, why couldn't they manipulate the energy that is storing residual activity? And that has left them speechless out of confusion. Maybe I didn't word that right.
I mean, no, I understand what you're saying. Like, if little Sally hears footsteps in her house, there could be intelligence just doing what it can do. Right?
Right. And again, this goes right back to the same thing that Brian and I were getting at earlier. We're not really going to know these answers until we're on that
until
side. I'm not
the
damn worried for it.
I agree with that. Speaking of, I had a funny
texting
for you guys. Was I texting? No, I wasn't. I was trying to plug my phone in. Every time I get on y'all's show, my phone dies. Every time.
Yeah, well,
could be worse.
Wait till Tracy Ray's on and you're on, too. You'll hear some weird shit.
Oh, yeah.
But I wanted to give you guys a little bit of a laugh. Have you seen where people are actually listing almost like a resume with their credentials in our field, where they pay $200 to $300 to listen to a 2 to 3 hour lecture and ultimately end up with this portable printer printed off certificate of being a, what do they call them, a professional paranormal investigator or something like that? Have you guys seen that?
A CPI, a Certified Paranormal Investigator.
There you go. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. I couldn't think of it because I don't have one. I'm not that cool.
No, nor am I, nor is Dennis.
Nah. I'm certifiable, but not necessarily in this field.
I know what you're talking about, and I actually got contacted, and that was the first question I asked is, did they charge? But I got contacted.
But that's
by
what I'm saying. How it's not even the fact that they charged for it. I mean, that kind of seems a little. Anyways, that I'm gonna be nice. It does come from people that I have met. Well, one of the programs does. I don't know about all of them, and I'm not going to speak on all of them. One of the programs that they have out there, it does come from people that I've met, and they're reliable out in our field. They know their stuff. They can sit down and talk with the best of them. But at the end of the day, does it truly certify somebody to be a certified paranormal investigator if all you did was sit down and listen to a two-hour lecture? And within that, can you really learn everything that there is to know that could qualify you for certification in 2 hours if I haven't learned it in 17 years?
Well, yeah.
Or even better, who is judging who should be certified?
The answer is yes, is you can learn everything because the person teaching it knows everything. I mean,
well, wouldn't that make the person teaching it?
I saw that, and it was on Facebook, and I sat here for a good 10, 15 minutes just laughing hysterically. You've got to be shitting me. We have certified paranormal investigators now. How the hell did this happen?
Well, all right. I'm going to back you up and say 100% no, those people are full of fucking shit, but I will also say in defense of that, if there is a team that's out there that says, hey, you know, in order to be a member of our team, this is how we operate, this is our protocol, and then they sit down and they get something to hang on the fridge like they're fucking 5 years old, then, you know, cool. But if a team wants to operate in a way to say, this is, like, all right, we like you, we want to bring you in, but we're going to sit down, we're going to have a training class of how we operate. I don't have any problem with that.
No, and I think that people should be, to the best of somebody's ability, when joining a team, especially if they're new to your team and your people. This is how we run things. This is what we do. And if you agree with that, then let's go. And if you don't, then maybe this isn't the group for you. So, yes, training sessions, absolutely. I'm just saying, when I saw the actual I'm a certified, I just kind of sat there and stared for a minute before it had me busting out laughing. I mean, seriously.
Well, and here's the problem with what I have of how certain people operate. And I honestly don't know names, so I'm not going to name names. And even if I did, I wouldn't anyway. But I had a woman contact me asking if I can give her the paranormal test to become a certified paranormal investigator. Then can I please send her the test so she can take it and then I can certify her as an investigator? I'm like, and I sent her back just plain as day, like not even trying to be an asshole or anything like that. I just sent her back plain as day. What in the fuck are you talking about? Then she responded, yeah, you know, I want to take my test so I can become an investigator. I'm like, there is no such protocol kind of test. I'm like, unless it's within the group, I'm like, but otherwise, no. And that was my first question. Were they trying to charge you for it? And she said, no, it was 100% free.
Hmm.
I'm like, all right, well, if it was within the group and that was their stipulations of what you had to follow to become a member of the group, I understand that. Like, but otherwise, and she goes, no, no, it wasn't that. They said that I had to take this test to become a certified investigator that they're giving, and I had to be on the team for 4 to 6 weeks and show improvement before I can go into a private residence. And then I have to take another test to go into a private residence.
Hmm. I've never, ever heard of that. I would be intrigued to see what exactly the test
That's what the helicopters are.
Yeah. Or where that's, would you learn? It doesn't make a damn bit of sense.
No, she wouldn't release the team name to me. She wouldn't release, like, anything. Not that I was going to put them on blast, but she's like, no, I don't want to start stuff, and I've been wanting to leave because everybody who's gone through their quote-unquote class is not a member of the team and has left and gone somewhere else anyway. So, I'm like,
might want to perhaps readdress the way they're running things.
It's some Ohio team.
Huh.
But above and beyond that, I don't know anything else. I know where she lives, and I had seen her, like, has worked at thing, but the name was gone. It just said paranormal investigator.
Huh.
And it was some team in Ohio is trying to, like, dupe people and saying, hey, you can't do shit unless you follow our protocol. And basically you're not allowed anywhere. It's like almost running like a fucking cult.
Well, I have seen a rise in people in a couple of different states, actually. One person from that state or that area, and I'm not speaking, just like individually from California, and another person from Texas, that's what I mean. But they seem to be trying to police, if that makes sense, the paranormal, the groups in their state. All of our states have groups that are not exactly credible. They're not in it for the right reasons. They refuse to educate. It's all about the thrill seeking. Every state has it. And if you tell me your state doesn't, I'm going to tell you you're full of shit. Virginia has it. Everybody has it. But to police the groups in your area kind of seems a little cocky and I mean, even if you have groups in that area that aren't exactly up to par, just your typical thrill seekers, is it really anybody's job to police them at the end of the... Do you see what I'm saying? Because you start policing groups like that, and you're like, oh, well, I'm just trying to get rid of the bad in the field. Then in theory, you really do have to come to a point, just like with our laws that govern us as Americans, you have to police everybody, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, who's to say that anything at all that Dennis and I say has any merit whatsoever? Nobody. But there's people that we'll openly admit that we don't know shit. We know what we know, and we try and collaborate with people. Same thing as why, Tara, I mean, you promote us because we're, one, not judgmental. Two, we're not going to tell anybody that they're wrong. And we promote the shit out of anybody. So,
well, if I didn't think that you guys had a respectable show, I certainly wouldn't have my clients on your show. I have respect for you guys. I have respect for your viewpoints and the way that you handle things or you view things. And in that aspect, I'd absolutely be more than willing to work with you in the field, although I'm more apt to do that with Dennis residing about an hour away from me than you. But but when it comes to the show, I mean, it really does come down to opinion, I suppose, at the end of the day. No, you know, you're not trying to be the elite top show on the internet, but at the same point in time, the show you run, even if it does get off track a little now and then, is a respectable show. You guys carry yourselves well. You have respect for the people that are on your shows. You're very appreciative of people's time, and that's why I bring my clients to you.
Well, Go ahead, Dennis.
It's like, you know, I made this statement today when I was doing a final interview to solidify Opie from Ring Dog Rescue coming in. We're a laid-back talk show. You know, both of us, I mean, we've interviewed TV personalities, movie stars, musicians, authors, and it's give us a little bit of humility in knowing that we are not the, we're not all that in a bag of chips. We're just us. And that's the way I think this program should run. Now, have we had assholes on that between the two of us, we've chatted back and forth and gone, holy shit, did he really just say that? Yeah. But we're not going to put him on public blast on the program. You know, we may not agree, but we're, you know, if we don't agree with you, we're going to disagree in a respectful manner. To me, that's just being human about shit.
Well, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I mean, you know, 99% of the people that we've had on here, we, like, have became friends with outside of just the radio show.
Oh, definitely.
So,
and we plan to continue on that same path.
Yeah, because I, you know, I don't know.
Good,
I
Dennis
mean,
sucked me in seeing me out at the Paracons. Y'all got stuck with me because of that.
Well, it's one of those things to where, I mean, you know, there's no point in putting anybody on blast because of their opinion. If somebody comes completely off the wall and it's, you know, we have them on, it's their first investigation they've ever fucking done, and they did everything wrong, we're not going to put them on blast. We're going to try and educate them with what we know. Not saying that it's right, but at least it's a little bit different of a path other than walking into a house saying, hey, motherfucker, are you here? Fuck you. And it's a private residence. Like, no, that shit, no. I have no problem shutting that down real quick. But other than that, anybody can come on and talk about anything that they want to.
And I just think that, you know, as far as the, you know, groups that try to police their other groups in their state and so forth, in order to police a group, that means you know everything. And that would make you an expert. And we've already established time and time again, there's no experts in this field. Now, as far as what Howard is doing with Virginia Paranormal Association, VPA, I think it's wonderful. It's not a policing organization. It's there to give support to other teams if they have a question, if they have something that goes out of their realm of ability to handle. It gives them somewhere to go. And it's also, you know, if a team needs additional members to back them up on an investigation, they have questions or something like that, it gives them a board to go to. But we're not telling them how they have to run their ship. That's, you know, you run it your way. We will try our best to coach you if you're doing
something. I do agree that if you have something put together, and if I kind of got thrown into that situation, and I'm just kind of going, oh, my God, WTF just happened here. Like, one day I log on to Facebook, and my notifications are blown up, and I have no idea what's going on. But, so I'm kind of sitting back and watching the group and watching how people feel about it and trying to comprehend it more. But if I understand correctly, and I told somebody else from Virginia in our area this earlier tonight, if I understand what's going on correctly, the general purpose of an association like this, or at least what he's trying to do, is just have one place where all of the investigators can come together in the state, support each other, bounce ideas back and forth of each other, borrow an investigator if they're running short for a place that they need to go. In that aspect, I love the idea. That's unity, and that's where we really need to be taking this field, is unity. With unity, we're going to be able to educate more because we're going to learn from each other. But when you have something thrown together that's like, okay, well, these are our rules and these are our guidelines, and if you don't do this, we're going to trash your group. I can't support that. I can't hang with that. I can't agree with that. I can't be a part of that. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
definitely. Well, that's one of the things that is made clear in our mission statement, is that, you know, we're not here to trash other groups. We're here to be of assistance to anybody in the state that needs the assistance.
Well,
so
that's why I loved Chris Dedman's post.
Chris is a mess.
Group of friends, check. Latest paranormal, or latest overpriced equipment, check. Look, thinking I'm going to get famous on a paranormal
priceless
show?
Chris
yeah.
is such a smart ass sometimes.
But you know what? That statement was absolutely true.
It was.
I mean,
very, very accurate. He is another one that has a way with words. I love him to death, though. That was a funny post. It was just not one I was going to start getting in debates with people over.
Oh, no. I put my name all over that shit because he was absolutely correct.
Sometimes you people make me laugh.
I sit back
and I scroll down the Facebook and I look at what all of you are posting, and I sit here to the point that my daughters walk over to me, Mom, what are you laughing at? Nothing, baby. Nothing.
Just the nuts I've surrounded myself with.
What do you mean, you people, you racist ass?
You people, all of yous. All of yous. Nah, I'm kidding. I have a genuine love for everyone, and I actually posted this tonight, and it does have to do with a paranormal situation, and when Dennis gets on the crack book there, he's going to see it because it has to deal with an issue here in Virginia. I think it's unfortunate, some of the things that I do see. So I have a genuine appreciation for people like Chris or you or hell, all of Crossover Paranormal. They're such amazing people. I mean, they really are. But it gives me a greater appreciation to know you guys. We have a situation now where when you see it on Facebook, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, but you get people that want to kind of fight and argue with each other, and they have disagreements, and they have fallen outs, and I have to be right, and you have to be right, and you effed up. No, you effed up. And then all of a sudden, everybody else in that area somehow manages to find that they've been pulled into it. And you come to a point where somebody within all of that is expecting you to take a side. See, that's a game I won't play. If you look at my Facebook and the people I speak to on a regular basis, I can guarantee you that one person I'm talking to or laughing with or joking with probably can't stand the other person that's posting on the same status, because I'm not going to play that game. If you're my friend, if you're my coworker, if you're somebody that I work with out in this field, then you know me, you know the way I act, you know my character, and you know my personality, and either you have respect for me being able to judge people on my own, or I'm sorry, but this is where our path ends in life.
Now, I'm trying to figure out what you're talking about as far as when I get on Crackbook. I am on Crackbook.
Yeah.
I've been on Crackbook all night.
No. Well, if you haven't seen it yet, you'll see it. It's just unfortunate. I see this kind of stuff all the time. I don't want to be that person, but I have to be that person. People need to come together in our field. You don't have to agree with everyone. Good Lord knows I don't agree with everyone. When I see massive orb photos posted over and over and over by one group as evidence, I'm not sitting and trashing them on every single one of their photos. At the end of the day, it's not my place to tell them that they're wrong. if they ask my opinion, I'll give my opinion. I'm sorry, it looks like you need to take your camera in and have it clean. But I'm not anybody special that needs to be sitting up on the Facebook or any other website for that matter, policing people and telling them, no, you're wrong, and you need to do this or you need to do that. The whole policing drama, he said, she said, you're not right, I'm right, you're certified, I'm not, all of it. I just think it's horrible, and I think it's detrimental to our field.
Wait, you took the class? You're certified?
Yeah. I'm absolutely, right,
well,
I am 100% certified paranormal, no, I'm not, I lied. I have no idea what that is. I haven't even heard the lecture for it.
The lecture is, I'm going to run you through it real quick. Bullshit, 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 take as many photos as you can. Bullshit, 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 tag audio. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Well, there you go. You're certified now.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I just want to see what the questions are. I just want to know what the questions are. Because
no.
I think I would probably see myself laughing.
You both are certified now. So give it 6 to 8 months, and you might be able to go into a private residence. Just there's another test coming up, which is called the bullshit test.
Well, that one I can pass with flying colors. I will promise you, I can pass a bullshit test.
You're the king of bullshitters?
I can bullshit with the best of them.
That's funny. No, the whole thing got brought about from the policing or the certifications or, yeah. But at the end of the day, I really think that people need to focus more on coming together and sharing with each other ideas, thoughts, theories. I don't care what it is. Just throw anything out there at me because I'm bound to learn something from it. And the more I learn, the more useful I am. I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything, and I learn from other investigators in the field every time I step out to do that job, including people that are brand new to the field. I've learned so much from them alone, and that's the truth.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm at a loss anymore. I've got over 4 decades on this planet, and 4 decades I've realized that people can just be plain assholes, and that's the personality they want to maintain. I'm fine with that. You know, if you want to live your life as an asshole, that's your prerogative. Just don't drag me under the bus with you, you know?
Hmm. No, but I'll throw you under the train the next time we're out at the exchange.
I'm not so much down with that idea.
You don't like that one?
I am.
What's that?
Matt said he is. Y'all ain't right.
No, Matt would probably send you a check. I'm not kidding.
Anyways.
Matt would send you a check. But, yeah, I definitely want to get back to the exchange and go hang out with Angel and Ann. Hey, that reminds me. I was there quite a while back on an overnight. There was a young man there that was going to college.
Jonathan.
Yes.
Jonathan Lucado?
Yes.
Jonathan, he was out at Paracon. Actually, he gives, like, the best hugs, too. That guy is so awesome, and he is amazing. Let me tell you, he has since graduated from ODU, but when he was in ODU, Old Dominion University, I guess I should say, because I guess a lot of people aren't going to know what ODU is. Anyways, when he was there, they allowed him to head up a paranormal team, And he is brilliant. I mean, absolutely brilliant. This boy put together devices that just absolutely blew me away. And they functioned. And it was awesome to see that somebody was capable of doing this, let alone somebody as young as Jonathan. He's an amazing guy. I know that he goes out to see Angel every now and then. I know that he's been out to the exchange, but I don't think he's actually doing the tours like he used to.
Yeah, he was pretty neat. I know one of the devices that he had built, I actually got to putz around with. And oh my God, I just had a complete brain fart. I better lift my hat before I launch it. Just vibration detector, and I can't think of the damn proper word for it. Matt, step up.
Oh, the...
Good deal, thanks, Matt.
Not the vibe. What the fuck did he call it?
Exactly. But, yeah, he had built one that was so damn sensitive and adjustable. We had the DVR system set up on just a folding card table out in the yard. So I set it up on the card table, stomped my foot 2 feet away from the table, and I could get lights to come on. And then I could also set it back low enough that it just barely lit when I would hit my hand on the table. Now, keep in mind, this table was so damn rickety and unsafe, I was kind of scared for the DVR system and the monitor to take a flying flip. But, yeah, I mean, and this was, you know, a couple of years ago when he had built that.
Yeah, he did the adjustable geophone, which I told you to contact him and either steal him or fucking buy him off of him.
Yeah, well, he told me that he would show me how he built it. He's like, you know, I didn't follow anybody's plans or anything. It's, you know, it's not like I, you know, as he put it, it's not like I went on like eBay or something and looked at somebody's blueprints to build the damn thing. He said, I did it all myself. That's pretty damn impressive for a young man that age.
Yeah, when you met him, he was what, 15?
No, he wasn't that young. Kelly was already in ODU.
No, Jonathan he's a youngin', but he's not that young. He seriously is an amazing kid, though. He really is. If you ever get the chance to get down here for one of our Paracons, Matt, you got to do it. You got to come and meet some of the awesome that we have here. Him, Angel, there's just so many people out there that are just absolutely wonderful people.
Yeah, no, I know that, and it's just, I'm just working on Dennis paying for my plane tickets and appearance fees to get down there.
Sure, just
I'll
keep
wait.
Waiting.
I'll wait the appearance fees.
That's actually what I do with Resurrection Talent. Did you know that? These clients of mine, yeah, that's funny. Then. Yeah, sorry, you're not one of my clients, though, sorry. Can't help you with that.
Well, you know what? You never asked.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
It's not exactly my company, but, you know, I love you guys.
Yeah, no. No, I
Jonathan
I
is really, really smart. His name is Jonathan Lucado. He is actually on my Facebook account. If you guys get the chance, Matt, or Dennis, I don't know if he's on your account or not, but Matt, definitely, if you get the chance, sit and chat with this guy. He's maybe have him on the show one night. He truly, he knows his stuff, I'll tell you. For such a young kid, he's brilliant.
Yeah, and that was the part that impressed me, was how young he was, yet how smart he still was. And not over... not all about himself, so to speak. You know what I mean?
No, he's not. Not at all. He'll give credit to everybody else around him but himself, but he's a good kid. He really is. And he has some amazing theories, so maybe having him on the show would be a good idea, but But I don't think he's doing the tours anymore.
And I took quite a bit of time that night with him and just shot the shit and, you know, went over some theories, you know, bounced back and forth between each other. We had a great conversation.
I think you guys should have a show with Angel May and Jonathan Lucado on it.
Nope, we're just late. You never know. I mean, we'll have anybody on the damn show with us. I mean,
yeah, this comes down to scheduling. Like, hey, can you do it? Yeah, can you do it? No. So, I mean, obviously, like Jenna said, love to have anybody at all on.
I'm still working with some other Resurrection Talent clients to see if we can get them booked on your show. And I know Brian said that he'd like to come back sometime when Nick can join, so you guys can definitely get them back in there.
Yeah, I've noticed in the past couple of weeks this has been Resurrection Full Spectrum.
Resurrection Talent Week, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, you've got to showcase them just as much as we've got to, you know, be able to staff guests for the show. Otherwise, the show isn't worth a damn. I mean, if it's just listening and the two of us sit back and flap our gums, we've done that.
You know, in all honesty, I wouldn't bring them to you guys if I didn't have massive respect for them. I sit back and I watch and I watch and I watch and I learn so much about the people that are on my Facebook account. And the people that I have brought to you guys are just, they're amazing in their field and what they do and how they think, their theories, the way they function. These are the people that are genuinely in this field for the right reason. Either that's research and understanding or it's genuinely to help people, but both of those are excellent reasons to be in this field.
True. And, you know, you always have the outlet with us to bring anybody anytime. I mean,
well, I didn't want Resurrection Talent to just completely take over your show because I did kind of notice that for like the past week it's been Resurrection Talent week. But I do. I absolutely love these people. I have massive respect for them, and I knew you guys would love them.
Yeah, no, and that's fine. It doesn't matter if it's Resurrection or not. Like, it's just if they want to talk, they want to get their name out, then, I mean, they're hands down, red carpet's open for him. Like, you know, come on through. So, I mean, if they're willing to take the time, we are definitely honored to have them on.
And I'm actually flattered that she's willing to bring her clients to us to be on our show.
Yeah, no shit, right?
I mean, I've met me.
Well, Chris,
an
you guys have had on before, so when I told him, he just kind of laughed and he goes, "Yeah." And but the Crossover Paranormal guys, their team is just coming back together and really starting to get back out there. I see amazing things in the future for these guys. They're wonderful people. Tracy, Brian, Nick, all of them are wonderful people, and I knew you guys would really get a kick out of them. It's a little unfortunate you didn't get to meet Nick, so I would encourage you to have them back on your show. He's a trip. He'll keep you laughing the entire show. They're just really good people.
Yeah, I mean, I just got into the shit so I can get my own TV program. And everybody that's ever listened to me knows that's bullshit, so don't. Panel, folks.
Yeah,
but I did want to thank you guys for having all of my clients on. That's awesome. I know that there's a few that said they'd love to come back. Crossover Paranormal said they'd love to come back. Twisted Paranormal said Lyle, his very first radio show ever, and put it out there. If you guys ever want him back, he's absolutely game for it. and hopefully we can bring you some more people. I will talk to Angel and Jonathan and see if they have time to do the show. Poor Angel, she works so much at the Exchange. Trying to get her on might be a task within itself, but I think you guys would really get a kick out of them, too.
Well, anybody you want to bring, just bring it. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, we'd for sure 100% appreciate it. We're never going to, like, throw anybody under the bus or talk shit or anything like that. I mean, we're always respectful, so, I mean, it's, and we've loved everybody that you brought on.
Aw, awesome. Thank you. And I'm glad you guys tolerate me, too. Lord knows I'm a feisty little thing, ain't I?
Yeah, every once in a while.
You know,
threatening
it happens.
To throw me into the train.
Poor Dennis has had to deal with me in real life, though. You got to give the man credit for that.
Yeah, but you still ain't managed to throw me under a train yet.
No, and I don't think I actually would.
Oh, I feel the love in that statement.
Yeah.
Someone tells me I'm being suckered in here.
No, you're not. I was actually being genuine. Good grief. See, I can't even be nice without you questioning my motives.
He does the same shit with me, don't worry.
Yeah. However, I am going to let you guys go because my phone is, like, beeping like a mad person, which means any second now it should actually hang up on you.
All right.
I am thankful that you had me on the show. I'm thankful you have my clients on the show. And I will listen
to
you guys soon.
Your phone is smart, which is why it would hang up on us. But, no, truthfully, thank you. And, I mean, anything you need, just let me know. Let Dennis know. You know, we both got your back. And it really does mean a lot.
Aw, you're welcome, you guys. I talk to you soon, probably on the crack book sooner than the phone, but you know.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
You're here. You know how to reach us, darling. Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah. Hey, it's
Sarah, even though it's not paranormal, check out next week because it's an actual, like, true from
next
the heart.
Next Wednesday, right?
Yes,
yeah.
And this
no,
Wednesday.
No.
Yeah,
like two,
that's this week.
Yeah, 2 days. Yes. Yeah.
I cannot promise you. It really depends on my Thursday and how that entire situation plays out, because if I got to make a 4-hour drive at like 5 in the morning, I'm probably going to be in bed. However, if I am awake, I will absolutely listen in. I will join you guys and have a chat. I'm glad that we have an association here that rescues pit bulls. That makes me very happy. There is one that is in my life that belongs to my best friend, and she is absolutely the most lovable critter I've ever met in my entire life.
Yeah, well, no matter what, and if you can do me a favor, and do Dennis a favor, like, I'm going to start the promotion probably early tomorrow morning, if you can just share it.
You're more than welcome to tag me in it, and it will be on my wall, because I can't promise you that I will remember to share said thing. I get a little sidetracked.
Yeah,
but if you'd like to tag me in it, it will show up on my wall, so I'd love to support you guys.
All
right. Well, we appreciate that, darling. We appreciate you coming on. Matt, her phone's going to die, so good night.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye, darling. Bye.